As I begin my message today, I just want to remind those who are watching online, midweek we send out something called Virtual Connections, and in that mailing that comes out to you, that email blast, there's a section that notes what Sunday it is, there's a link for the live stream, and then below that you'll notice a link for the bulletin. If you just click on that, you can actually follow along for the bulletin for this Sunday. So that's updated every week, so just so you know, that's important that you save that email so that you can do those things. You know, it was interesting, I was reading this past week that the Roman authorities were investigating Jesus because he had violated a stay-in-tomb order. And you know, as I read that, I thought that was so timely because, you know what, we're still celebrating Easter. We're celebrating that Jesus rose from the dead. But I thought that was a great joke, given all that we're going through in this moment. You know, the Wuhan virus is really something, isn't it? It really has changed in our lives in a way that none of us really saw coming. People have died from it, and many have recovered, and there may be even still more that have it that didn't even know they had it. They were asymptomatic. The other thing I've noticed about this season is that the fear is still really strong. We're beginning to talk about reentry. They're beginning to talk about that in the country as well. What would it look like over the next few weeks for us to begin to come together again? And as I talk with people about this and as I listen to them, one of the words that comes to mind for me is slow. It's going to be slow. People are probably still going to be distancing from each other. When we do the peace with each other, it's going to kind of be like this, or waving. Communion will still be, you'll be able to receive it, but it'll be a little bit more in a sterile fashion. But again, I think what we'll try to do as we come back together is try to provide as safe an environment as possible and welcoming as well. But you know, that fear, again, is still strong. And I think even as we emerge from this, that will be there. It has actually brought people to suicide. Many people are depressed, and there's a despondency. You know, there are a few people maybe who have just been couch potatoes, been watching a lot of TV, and you feel like you're kind of in the twilight zone. Some people don't even know what day it is because they've kind of lost track of time. I just want to encourage you today to get off of your couch, to turn off the stream, to walk outside, to move. To get in the Word, to be praying, and to engage in this moment, because it's a very important season for us as well. You know, the other thing that really saddens me about this time is that this whole event has destroyed the world economy, truly. Millions of jobs have been lost, especially for the working poor. A lot of those jobs are not coming back. And it's heartbreaking for me that all that has happened, and I know for you as well. So our world, in a very real way, has been turned upside down, and we ask the question, really, at this moment, when will people begin to get together again? You know, they just opened up the beaches in Jacksonville the other day, and when they opened them up for the first time, again, for limited hours, people were actually applauding. For those who are watching this, maybe from other parts of the country, that's one of the reasons why we live in Florida, is we really enjoy the beaches. And so, again, we look forward to those opening up as well. So, you know, this reality of fear that we're living in right now is real for us, intangible for many people in a way like never before. And the gospel lesson today is so timely in that regard. Jesus comes into the upper room where the disciples are gathered. They're gathering there behind a locked door, and they're there because they're afraid of the Jews. They're afraid that the Jews are going to do the same exact thing that they did to Jesus, that is either imprison them or kill them. And so they're afraid. And it's interesting, Jesus in his resurrected state doesn't have to ask them to open up the door. He just walks right into the room. That's going to be exciting. One of these days, you and I are going to have the same kind of body. We'll just be able to walk wherever and we'll be good. He walks into this room, and it's interesting what he does. He doesn't scold them. He doesn't rebuke them for being afraid, but rather he says to them something very important. He says to them, "Peace be with you." That's what he says. And I believe that's what Jesus would say to us in this moment of fear as well. He speaks to us words of peace. Now, this is a very special word that Jesus is speaking because it's what's called a substantial word. And what that means is that when Jesus says this word peace, it's not just a greeting. It's not just a wish. It's just not a possibility or something Jesus hopes that they receive. But rather, when Jesus says to them, peace be with you, they actually receive his peace. It's like a spiritual impartation that happens in their lives. And again, as we read the scripture, it says as well that he breathes on them and they receive the Holy Spirit. Again, a promise of what is to come. He not only says to them, peace be with you once, but he says it to them two times. Peace be with you. And in saying it a second time, he affirms this word to them. And again, he breathes his peace upon them that they would receive it. I think that speaks very powerfully about our present situation. And what the Lord wants to do in each one of our lives is come into the room of our life, that place in our life where we're really afraid right now. And again, I've encouraged you to do this over the past weeks, to be honest specifically about what it is you're afraid of. What is it that you're panicking about? Because what's going on in the world right now is that the herd is panicking. And what that means is that when one person in the herd starts getting panicked from whatever they're watching on the media or whatever they're hearing from here and there, everybody else begins to panic. And then the whole herd begins to run. And they'll go right off a cliff. That's what the herd does. What you want to do is not be part of that herd. I don't want you to run off the cliff. I want you to get out of the herd. I want you to get in Jesus' herd, into Jesus' place, and I want you to receive his word to you today. And his word to you today is the same word he spoke to his disciples who were full of fear at one time as well. And he says to them, and he says to us, peace be with you. He wants you to receive his peace. Receive it. Again, I'll say to you, in the words of our Lord, peace be with you. And he says that twice to them, I think, because they need to hear it. Even when he says it the first time, their minds are probably jumbling still around with, oh my gosh, I'm afraid of what's going to happen to me. They're worried about this and worried about that. And so Jesus needs to say it to them a second time so that that word, that reality of peace, can really settle into their hearts. And that's what needs to happen for you and me as well. You and I, each and every day, need to be getting into God's word. Again, go to John 20, 19 to 31. That's where this scripture is. We need to go to God's word, and every day we need to, at the very beginning of the day, give him what you're worried about. Give him what you're afraid of. Give him to him your uncertainties. Give him to your fears and all that, and say, Lord, I receive your peace. And my direction to you is do not move from that spot, wherever you are, until you have his peace, until you have a sense of his spirit. It might be the next moment. It might be 20 minutes from then. It might be half an hour from then. But God will give you a peace that passes understanding, and then you can walk the rest of your day in his peace and be able to follow him. You know, it's interesting, as Jesus speaks this word of peace to them, he reminds them that he has a calling in their lives. What he says in this scripture is, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you to go out into the world and to bear witness to me. And that is, again, the Lord's word to me and to you in this moment. Don't be caught up with the herd of this world and their panic and their fear and anxiety. I have a calling in your life. And your calling lies with the Lord Jesus Christ, with me, with the kingdom of God. That's where your calling is. In the world, you will have tribulation. I seem to remember somebody saying that before. That was the Lord. In the world, you will have tribulation. Expect it. It's going to come. We're living in it. Some people are asking me, Father Joe, are we living in the last days? I don't know, but it sure seems like we're getting close. I'll just say that. If we're not in it, we're on the edge of it, it seems to me. And I'm usually not one to say that. So even though that would be the case, we still have a mission to accomplish, and our mission is in the Lord, and we need to stay focused on him. Remember, if you're walking in fear, the devil is your spiritual director. You don't want the devil as your spiritual director. If you're walking in fear and anxiety and running with the herd, let me tell you what your ultimate destination is. It's off the cliff. It's your destruction. It's your death. Get out of that herd. Get with the kingdom of God. Get with the disciples and get with the peace of Jesus Christ. And so, you know, we need to hear afresh this morning, we have a mission in this moment. You know, as our doors begin to open up, and they're going to open up in the next couple weeks, we believe in God. I can't wait to go back to the beach. I can't wait for this sanctuary to begin to gradually fill up again. I can't wait to begin to meet with people more and pray with them. And I know some of you have the same thoughts on your hearts as well. We need to begin getting ready for that right now. We need to be getting ready for an incredible, I believe, time of repentance and revival that's coming out of this moment. What Satan has meant for evil, God is going to bring tremendous good out of it. Believe that, because I don't know about you, but I'm hearing that in my spirit. I've been sharing that with you, and I'm hearing it from so many other people. It's got to be the Holy Spirit, and I'm excited about it. In fact, my closing word to you in this word is not only to receive the peace of the Lord, but to receive a fresh anointing for your ministry in this moment, because that is what God is giving. Once he's worked through the strongholds and the idols of our life, which is part of what we've been going through, I've been sharing about that, about the shaking of our world, the shaking of our idols, and bringing us back to the foundation of our faith, who is Jesus Christ and the Father and the Holy Spirit, and our fellowship with one another. As that is established, God is preparing to send us out again. That's exactly what's going on. So what I'm saying to you is get ready now. Get ready now. It's going to happen in the next week or two. You've been going stir crazy. You couch potatoes out there, get ready. You got to start moving now because you're going to need that mobility. And what I want to say to you in closing is your prophetic time is now. You know, we read prophecies in this Bible, in the Old and New Testament, and we say to ourselves, boy, what would it have been like to have been alive in that moment and to live into that prophetic moment and what God was speaking? How excited they must have been. How excited they must have been to experience being with Jesus in the fulfillment of those prophetic moments. And they were incredibly miraculous and exciting. Guess what? You're living in a prophetic moment right now. All of us are. You just don't realize it. And I'm gonna nail it down for you right now. Bruce David Wilkerson was actually the pastor of Times Square Church in New York City. David Wilkerson, the cross and the switchblade, incredible ministry in that city, incredible ministry to the gangs, incredible ministry throughout the world, and an incredible prophet of God who had a lot of different prophecies fulfilled during his lifetime. But guess what? You and I are living in fulfillment of one of his prophecies right now that he gave back in 1986. I don't believe it, Father Joe. That's okay, Doubting Thomas or Teresa or whoever you are. I'm going to share with you the prophecy that he spoke back in the 1980s that is unmistakable for this moment. And here it is. I see a plague coming on the world, and the bars and churches and government will shut down. The plague will hit New York City and shake it like it has never been shaken before. The plague is going to force prayerless believers into radical prayer and into their Bibles, and repentance will be the cry from the man of God in the pulpit. And out of it will come a third great awakening that will sweep America and the world. How amazing is that? We have been, I mean, you are sick and tired of me hearing me talk about repentance and revival. I know some of you are saying, when is he going to shut up? I'm never going to shut up about that, because that is the message, part of the message that God has put on my heart. And you know what the reality is? You should be so excited to hear this word in this moment. You know, a lot of us were wondering, we're sitting at the red light right now, waiting for it to turn green. This is a green light. Understand the times in which you're living in. Understand the prophetic fulfillment that is going on. You have no excuse from this moment going on, because I've told you as clear as day what is going on. We are living in some of the most exciting times in the history of the world. The prophecies about this coming great awakening is that it will be the greatest great awakening that will be global that the world has ever seen. And you are alive in this moment. Let me tell you what the days ahead are going to be about. It's not going to, in the kingdom of God at least, it's not going to be about staying away from one another. It's not going to be about being in quarantine for the rest of your life. Thank God. It's going to be about connecting with the world in the power of the Holy Spirit and a prophetic understanding of where we are right now. Did you hear that prophecy? Do you understand we are living in that moment? It's being fulfilled right now. It's happening as we're breathing. And for such a moment and for such a time and for such a destiny, you and I have been born. And so this is what I'm praying for in the days and weeks to come. As I issue the invitation in the weeks to come for you to come back to this church, you know what? We'll social distance. We'll sanitize. You can sit apart from one another in the pews. We'll be careful. We'll go gradually and slowly. But I want you to know that God is opening up a door for us in this moment. We're living into a prophetic moment of a great season of repentance and revival that we've been praying about. I've been praying about for 30 years now, and we've been praying about in this church for the past 11 years. This is the moment. Seize the moment. Be excited about the moment. Go back and listen to this message 3 or 4 times. Hear this prophecy from our brother, David Wilkerson. This was one of the last prophecies that he gave before he died, which makes it incredibly important. I'm just so stoked. You can't tell, right? I'm so blown away that we're in this moment. One of my prayers as I prayed for revival for so long is I just said, Lord, I just asked, since I've been praying for this for 30 years now, that I could just be a part of it, that I could just see it beginning to come, never realizing that we would be in this moment together. So I say to you here today, the peace of the Lord be with you. The peace of the Lord be with you. Embrace the moment in which you're living. Realize that God has honored you and has destined you to be alive during what will be one of the greatest awakenings and revivals that this world has ever seen. May we join together in faith for the great work that Jesus has for us in his name. And all of God's people said, Amen. Let us